All right, all right. This is week two of Sports and Things, brought to you by Anchor, myself CJ, my boy Terrence, and my boy Antonio.
Teep that.
Let's get it today, y'all. First topic we're going to talk about, man, is the NFL boycotts. Is it overrated? Does it make sense? Is it something that you agree or disagree with? Go on and kick it off, Tone.
Okay, so maybe I'm not the best person to start it off with because I've been a little detached from football.
Detached from football,
and
okay.
And social media as well.
Okay.
So you guys let me know what is actually going on. What they're boycotting again. I thought last thing I heard, they just went away with that. At first, they were going to say you couldn't sit or anything if you were not standing in the locker room. And then they went away with that. So that's where I was left off at. So
the thing with that is the NFL was implementing a policy to say that if you are going to protest in any form, your mandate to stay in the locker room and not come out. But the NFL Player Association fought back against that. And so the NFL put that policy on hold. So right now they're in the midst of renegotiating, but they haven't came to a consensus yet. So right now, nothing has changed. So that's why some players are still protesting, some staying in the locker room, some holding up a fist, taking a knee. But as of right now, the NFL can't do anything about it because there's no new policy in place for that.
So Thursday night, several Miami Dolphins players took a knee, and as a result, the state police of the state of Florida put out a mandate saying that they will not work any Miami Dolphins home games until the protests come to a cease. How you guys feel about that?
So Miami is the first city to do that.
Yeah,
they're not gonna be last.
They're not
going to
be, yeah.
That's pretty much what I feel about that. That's where we at in not just America in times, you don't have to be afraid to stand up for what you believe in, no matter if you're in this time racist, right or wrong. You know, you have an opinion or a belief, you stand for it, and the police department is the first one to show how they feel.
So with the police department saying that they're not going to stand security at any more of the Dolphins games, does that go for just this protest, or does that go for, anybody using the rights that we're given in this country? Because, I mean, you can pick and choose. You can say freedom of speech.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything that is negative in any way. They're not fighting. You know, they're not being disruptive. It's silent protest.
Yeah. So they're not breaking the law. And then, see, and that's a good question, too, because if the state police in the state of Florida boycott the Miami Dolphins because they have players who protest, then you're essentially saying that you are against people who protest for the proper treatment of minorities at the hands of law enforcement. So if you're against that, then what other cause are you going to be against?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Going to be for? Are you for the Me Too movement? Are you for LGBT? You're cool with, transgender people using the restrooms of regular gender? I mean, where do you draw the line in the sand as far as what you stand for and what you don't?
This is why I don't fuck with NFL players. This is why I don't mess with the NFL. With the players, because they don't stand for shit. Like if I look at it like this, if I'm playing and you're supposed to protect us, you're supposed to be our security, you're supposed to be whatever the case may be, and because we have a belief about something, you say you're not going to protect us anymore, how do I feel safe here moving forward? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, these are NFL games. 15,000 people at these games. So you're telling me you're going to pick and choose when you're going to protect me?
Yeah.
And these NFL players, I don't want to insult their intelligence or anything like that, but come on, I've grown up watching NFL players blindly just have this weird love for the game, like never give up on football, and no matter how shitty it is for them, no matter how shitty it does to their bodies, their minds, their well-being.
I wouldn't say it's a blind belief. I mean, most people who play sports, not all, but most people, they have the passion for it, and it's secure for them and their family. They're getting paid millions of dollars to go out here and entertain us, you know, just the general population. So it's not, they're not being blind about it. I mean, if you had the opportunity to play professional sports, I'm sure you would. I know I would in a heartbeat.
So when Marshawn Lynch retired from the NFL, did his revenue stop?
No. He
was able to transition and do other things. What I'm saying is that they have the resources once they get, like, regardless of what, when they get to the NFL, they have more resources than they would have ever had. They know things that they can do in order to be successful in life without having to meet the NFL.
But you know what Marshawn Lynch has that not every NFL player has or any sports figure has? Sponsors. Not everybody has a sponsor.
He has sponsors, and then also to add on to that, one thing he has that not a lot of athletes or people in general have is just common sense. Common sense is to know that this segment of my life is not going to be forever. And once it's over, I'm going to have to figure out something else to do. Now, what Marshawn Lynch did and not spending contract money, I can assure you 99% of all other professional athletes are not doing that.
Yep.
So Marshawn Lynch is, if you want to say an outlier, like someone who's just different and like not built like everyone else, some of these guys, I've heard stories of rookie players betting their rookie contracts on team flights.
Oh, man.
I heard that too.
Like, so, I mean, Marshawn Lynch to be like, I'm only going to spend sponsorship money my whole career, from Buffalo to Seattle to New York, to like everywhere he's played his whole career. I'm not going to spend contract money.
Yeah.
Genius. But every player isn't like that. Some of these poor guys come in and they're so gullible. They're really strong physically, but mentally some of these guys are really fragile and weak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are. Like, they're big and brolic and stuff, but mentally, if you say something about them in a paper as a journalist, they're buggered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you say something about them on Twitter, they cry. So they may not have the common sense to think, damn. Especially if you're not one of the top 2-3 players on your team, you may not even have a job in next season. So, in the NFL, especially with it not being guaranteed money, not everyone thinks like, okay, financially, I need to put myself in a good position to where, like you said, if I'm not playing football next year, my kids can still eat.
But that's another thing, mm-hmm. what I'm saying, though. They've had chances to make their contracts more guaranteed when they get into their negotiation agreements. What do they go for? Fucking...
You're up with the Joneses, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, the stuff that they agree to for in their lockout, whatever, in agreements.
They have a weak players union, too.
Very weak.
Very weak. Very weak. But the way that I feel about the Florida State Police not wanting to work Miami Dolphins games, I look at it this way. If you are a black player in that locker room, you got to understand that the bargaining chips are on your side of the table, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, I don't know the exact percentage, but I can tell you on the average 53-man roster, I can tell you 40 of those men are black.
Yeah, I think it's about 80%.
At 80%? Okay.
80% okay. In the NFL.
So if I'm a Miami Dolphin player and I am not going to be protected by law enforcement or any other substantial agency to ensure my safety and my family's safety when they come to the arena or the stadium, how about I just not play?
And when you hear
we'll see
athletes,
how that goes.
We hear all athletes, they say people say racist shit in those stands
mm-hmm.
and shit like that. So, like, for me, I feel like I'm watching all of America just like it turned into the 60s again. Like, segregation. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with segregation. Like, shit, give us our own leagues. Mm-hmm. Give us our own sport. I mean, like, I know this shit don't sound, it don't sound conventional, this, that, and the other. We don't take care of our shit, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one thing. I'm not even going to that. But
yeah.
I just feel like we used to watch N1 major until it got fucking super commercial white, whatever.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, we still choose to watch street ball, or, you know what I'm saying, streets. If they had street NFL, they were really strict on NFL. Like, that pipeline from high school, college, NFL is strict. You know what I'm saying? It's not like NBA where you can go look at some pickup games or go YouTube street games or whatever like that. NFL ain't the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, but if they did have an outlet like that, they would get attention. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying is like, I know it'd be hard for black people to fucking have something and actually be able to profit off of it. And the way this economy is structured. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And that would be a problem that would arise with, you know, going back to like the segregation of the sports and anything else, because you got to think about the most powerful people in America are not African American. There's no African American owner of any NFL team, not one. So, one, who's going to have the funding for everything? Two, what kind of contract, liability, security, medical shit that they will be promised for playing in this, you know, this street league or whatever league that they come up with, because they're going to have to be promised something, because nobody's going to watch touch football or flag football like they do in the NFL. People in the NFL are not going to want to leave the NFL because they're going to make 5, 10, 20 times as much money in the NFL that they would in any other league, because it's one of the most popular leagues or sports in a country, in the world.
Yeah.
So there's too many factors that can go into that would set it up for failure than success.
Yeah, yeah. And then you really couldn't compete against the NFL, because the NFL is
a global brand.
It's a nonprofit that profits multiple billions of dollars a year. So they pay no taxes, and they generate billions of dollars in revenue. Like, you would look at one team like the Dallas Cowboys, who haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. In jersey sales annually, they sell $400 million a year.
In just jerseys.
That's just one team. The amount of money, the amount of billions the NFL generates is insane. It's insane. And I know it's crazy to think, well, you know, it shouldn't be about the money, or
so, but it wrongs, is. So the wrongs will never be written, because it's such a they can just buy their way out.
The NFL was grandfathered in from the AFL. So the AFL became, like, and I'm talking like a company as old as the NFL, man. You have to look at it like a JP Morgan Chase. Like, these banks have been around, these institutions, man, have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. You're not gonna get a group of brothers together and start a business that's gonna be able to compete within your lifetime. You may make money, you may, you know, get on TMZ, or you may get on the local news, you may make waves initially, but we're not gonna stick together long enough to see it through to even compete with the NFL on any global scale. And that's just the truth. And I hate to say that, but that's the reality.
You know what? I love football. I love playing it growing up. I love watching it. But I've been okay since I started watching it. I don't know if it's been 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been okay with not watching and being okay with my stance on it. And, you know, and I it does hurt sometimes, because it is a fun game. There is a love for the game, but I can't accept the fact that money is so driven in that sport, man.
Money drives everything, though.
But I'm saying that it's so driven in the sport that you can literally watch the racism and the bullshit, and you try to ignore just to watch niggas throw touchdowns all day. Like, I'm good. Like,
and then too, in a comical sense, the NFL is kind of a black league, if you want to be technical about it. I mean, let's not act like it's even or like it's 50-50 based on the race. Like, if you can watch any NFL game, you're going to see more brothers.
With that being said, why is there no LeBron James of the NFL? Why is there no prominent black figures that have a sway in the way things go in the NBA?
The NFL. The reason that I feel, at least, that there's not any player in the NFL that's as big of a star as
LeBron James. Tom Brady?
Nope.
You don't think there haven't been quarterback rule changes because of Tom Brady?
Okay, but I'm talking about as far as like a mega superstar globally.
The brand.
Yeah, there's because
Tom Brady isn't the brand. No, LeBron is.
And no NFL player will ever be as big as an NBA player can be, because most NFL players, like most people can't recognize NFL players
outside
their helmet and outside their jersey. You see him on the street, most people won't recognize him.
The platforms are totally different.
That's not to say for Tom Brady.
In basketball, you see the players. You get to see their faces. There's nothing covering them. In football, if somebody asked you, like, off top of their head, what Drew Brees looked like, you wouldn't know. Well, you probably would know, but a lot of people don't know. If somebody asked you what Chris Paul looked like, you know what Chris Paul looked like. You see Chris Paul's
face.
But
with that being said, you can't sit here and say that there aren't some white football athletes that faces are on brands that you can see them, and their brand is not as big as LeBron's, but it can compete. Like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, what's his name, Andrew Luck, these guys have been J.J. Watt. Their faces are everywhere. Muscle Milks, McDonald's, hey, Subway. They put the face of the white boy of the NFL on.
The only NFL player that I would say maybe be able to get anywhere close would be Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he's about the only one.
Saturday Night Live, Papa John's. That'd be the only one I would say.
But let me tell you guys this right here. And this is something that I really feel here. I feel like a person is only as bold as their security. So in the NFL, there's no guaranteed contract. In basketball,
there's guaranteed money now, though.
It's guaranteed, but
I understand.
Like in basketball, like that money is guaranteed. Once you sign your name on that contract and the owner accepts, that money is owed to you. The Lakers just stopped paying Andrew Bynum like 2 years ago. He's been out of the league for 8 years. So it's a different platform when you know you got that financial security.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a little bit more bolder in your political affiliations. In football, like as great as Le'Veon Bell is, if he re-signs with Pittsburgh and come out and say something about Donald Trump, Pittsburgh can get rid of that man and not owe him a cent. So based on his financial situation, which I don't know and I can't really speak on like another man's pocket, but if he's not in a position to sustain himself without the game of football financially, then that would really silence you from saying stuff, even if you feel like you need to say stuff or you want to say something.
And on the topic, it's interesting the time right now in the NFL because they are now starting to give fully guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk Cousins got the first one. So I think that's one thing that's going to kind of hinder hinder the protests and what other NFL players want to do, because it's going to be up to, you know, the owner to be like, well, you know what? I didn't like you, you know, raising your fist that one time. I can't give you a fully guaranteed contract. We can do $80 million over 5 years, you know, $12 million guaranteed. And then, you know, another 50 something mil in incentives.
Yeah.
Real quick. I just want to make a point real quick.
Go ahead.
Even though the NFL ratings dropped these last 2 years.
They've been up.
Hold on. Compared to recent years, everything has went up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you their likability has went down. But the ratings, last year, out of the top 15, number one, Super Bowl. Number two, AFC Championship, New England versus Patriots. Number three, Pittsburgh versus Kansas. Number four, the Oscars. Number five, New England versus Houston, divisional playoff. Mm-hmm. Number six, Sunday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys, New York. Seven, Game 5 of the Finals. Number eight, Seahawks versus Lions. Number nine, Grammys. Number 10, Astros versus the Dodgers, Game 7. Walking Dead and college football. And number 15, Kansas City versus New England. So out of the whole top 15, nine of them is fucking NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, I guess I'm just going and proving, like, adding to y'all point is that no matter what you do, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to make a point is that people know those faces. Like, those teams, those are the prominent advertised white boy teams. Like Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, man. But no, I don't think the Cowboys. People know their faces, man. People know the names. But they don't know the faces, man. Do you know what Ezekiel Elliott looks like? The average person in the DFW. They know who number 21 is. They know that Ezekiel Elliott's the running back, but I don't know what he looked like, man. People know what Dirk Nowitzki looks like. Everyone knows what Dirk looks like.
Everybody is not watching these programs and they're not knowing what these people look like.
Yes.
There's a small percentage of fans who watch sports and know what the hell's going on, first off.
It's a small percentage.
A lot of people watch sports, man, and they couldn't tell you to, like, five stars.
Oh, that's where I was about to go with that.
So let's not act like everyone's knowledgeable of sports.
There are people who watch sports just to cheer for a team. Yeah. They don't know. They couldn't name you one, two starters.
Yeah.
They couldn't name you them, but they can pick them out. Like,
I don't know.
I believe that people are bad with names, but they can tell you a face.
They know the faces if they see them.
They can tell you a face.
The Dallas Cowboys offensive line, best offensive line in football. If you saw any one of them at Kroger, would you know who the hell
you are? We don't talk about those people when we talk about this type of stuff. We talk about positional players and quarterbacks. Like, it is what it is.
Their receivers, if you saw Cole Beasley or Terrence Williams at Walmart, would you know who they are? In regular street clothes.
They're not the same. That's like if he was the
You season. Said skill position, though.
Hold on. They'd like to see whatever the fuck the dude name was that Detroit drafted in the draft, the Kennard dude. If I was to see him, I don't know what the fuck he looked like. It's the same thing. The bigger your role, the more you know. Like, the less you know, like, there's a lot of dudes in the NBA, and I'm very – they tell you, I watch a lot of NBA stuff. Mm-hmm. There's some – well, who is this? Like, Toronto?
If you were a
Toronto
fan,
bro, I didn't know
Detroit,
nobody
you
on Toronto.
Know Luke Kennard if you saw him at Audi.
I didn't know nobody on Toronto other than Ibaka, DeRozan, Kyle Lowry,
and
Valanciunas. I didn't know nobody else.
No.
I was so surprised watching them in the playoffs. I was so surprised watching Toronto. I was so surprised.
Okay. Well, look, I think getting back to the original statement, too. I'm not going to act like LeBron James is just a pillar for, like, advocacy. He's nowhere near Muhammad Ali as far as being vocal. He speaks up, but he does it in a very politically correct way. So I can't just give him that stamp like he's the person who's speaking for us. Because really isn't. He really says what's popular when no one's paying attention. And then you just kind of go back and say, oh, he's woke. Or he'll wear a T-shirt.
I'm not talking about that.
But he's not, like, so I'm not going to put him like a – like, I would be willing to go to jail because I'm not going to go fight for my country.
I'm talking about
– he's not woke like
no.
And I think we put that stamp on people just because they say one thing or – you know what I mean?
When I even brought up LeBron and when it compares to the NFL, is the fact that him and Chris Paul are the president and vice president of the NBA Players Association. And they were the ones who they got the television spike and they were like, all right, we're gonna do this this cap raise over the next few years. And they were like, no, we want it next season in order to look out for their players. Or the fact that some of the taxes that they get off their contracts is so that players are always get paid if you have been in like those are the things. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The impact that LeBron had over the NBA.
But
other black players don't do in the NFL.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but I do think it goes back to what Chris initially said about the guaranteed contracts. Like NBA, they cut you still getting your money. NFL, they cut you getting a fraction of your contract because of most of it's based off incentives and bonuses.
Yeah.
So I mean, you have if you tell me I'm gonna pay you $100 million over the next 5 years. Okay, I'm good. I can say what I want to say because you know what? You can kick me out the door 10 minutes after we both signed it, and I'm still getting that $100 million the next time.
They negotiated for that.
There's clauses in every NFL contract, and I Googled this, and that's why I don't really feel too bad now about the Kaepernick situation. But when you sign these contracts, there's verbiage that says you cannot do anything that will embarrass or publicly demean the team or the team's beliefs.
But that's
a fact.
That's so
if you go, it's just like the military.
That's yeah. That's, you can't that's do anything. Yeah. But see, here's the thing too, to bring it to like a real life level here. And I say it again. I always say you are only as cocky as your security. So look at the three of us in this room here. Now we have it comes out that we have a racist owner at the job that we work at. Mm-hmm. Are we going to quit our job? Are we going to not go to work to protest a cause that we believe in? Well, I'm not going to go to work for a racist owner. Your owner has a scandal that comes out in the local news, and he's just dropping nigger bombs everywhere. Are you going to go to work?
That's true.
Still going to go to work.
Did right? I just start there? Do I have another job, or is this the only job I can get?
That's the only job you got, and that's how you pay your bills and keep a roof over.
Is that the only job that I can get, though?
No, it's not.
I'm immediately looking for another one.
Like, hey, I'm gonna do this.
That's fair, but right on the spot, when you find this stuff out, when it's brought to you, Antonio, your manager look at you like you ain't shit.
Okay.
Are you gonna walk right out right then?
No, because that'd be dumb.
Because people are mad at Kaepernick.
I mean, that would completely be dumb.
Yeah.
I always say, you can't quit a job if you don't have another one in line.
Okay.
It's just like, you break up with your girlfriend, you always got to have a backup.
Let me tell you this, though. But let me bring this in. Say you work for the best company that is in your field. Because if you're a football player, some of these boys didn't graduate college. So all they know is football. So for you to go to another job and still want to play football, you got to go a step down. Are you willing to go to the CFL where you make a 10 mil and now you got to make $50,000 a year? Are you prepared to do that?
Yeah.
People are mad at these players who aren't standing up for it, and I get it. They should use their voice to speak up, and if they all came together and unified, there would be no NFL.
I won't say they should.
That's how they pay their bills.
I would like to say something real quick.
This is their income.
Since we're talking about Kaepernick a little bit. Mm-hmm. I never heard Kaepernick say, I want to play. Like, people said for him.
No, he's come out and said that he want to play. He even made a video of him training, throwing footballs.
Yeah. See, that's how much I
got to
get back.
I don't think he would take meetings with teams if he had no intention of playing.
Yeah, he's taking.
But here's the thing too, though. Here's the thing too. Even if Kaepernick didn't want to play, which is false because he wants to play. But if he didn't want to play, he should at least have the option of playing. He's better than 15 starters.
Here's this entitled thing.
It's 32 starters in the NFL, and Cap is better than 15.
It's not about being entitled. It's if they're going to say that it's his football play, the reason that he don't have a job.
That's bullshit.
When you can put him in half the teams, and he's already a starter on that team.
Okay, so I say this. Using what you
real life matters. Niggas are not quitting their job.
Would you go to work and protest your job because cops out there killing motherfuckers? Like, why are we held to the same standard?
That's what I'm saying.
As NFL players and this time.
Well, here's why. Here's what people use. People use that they're in a different tax bracket. They have made more money than we'll ever see. So they're more financially secure to take a risk like that. But not all of them are.
Nope.
Only four players in that locker room are financially make enough money to say fuck you to the owner. Most of them dudes can't say that because they're not making their money like that.
Oh, my God.
I know. And look, so all three of us, mm-hmm. we're upset at, you know, our job, you know, mm-hmm. with our boss who, you know, is racist and everything else like that. The difference between us going to our job and protesting is going to be three regular people outside. Them, they have names. They have brands. They have teams. Yeah. They're on national TV where millions of people see. Yeah, millions of people can see them.
Yeah.
That's how you bring attention to something when something is globally televised. They watch football games in countries all over the world.
What's a terrible TV show that's on right now?
Where did this come from?
Show? I'm trying to make a point like
which. Okay, a terrible TV show.
What's a terrible TV show?
No,
I don't want to do
it. I don't really watch
it. Just so we can like shed light on how important platform is. Let's just say, for example, Empire. All right. If I tweet out Empire is terrible, I may get 10 retweets, 5 relikes. If Beyonce tweets out that same tweet, Empire is trash, no one is going to watch Empire.
Yeah.
Fox is going to cancel the show. So platform is very important.
Yeah, it is.
To add all like that you're saying. Like, you know, and that shouldn't discourage you from, you know, standing up for something. But
you have to be smart about it.
It isn't going to mean the same thing coming from me that it would mean coming from like a LeBron on social media.
Even Alvin Kamara, since he just ran that kick up back. You know?
Yeah. We're watching some football highlights right
now. Yeah, we're watching highlights, so, you know.
All right, but outside what,
noise, that's what it is.
All I'm saying is why, like, I'm not saying anything about the, mm-hmm. like, trying to bring the American flag and nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But why at the football game? Like, why are we have to bring attention to this at the football game? Like, during most of our leisure time, entertainment time, downtime, like, why do we have to, like, I feel like I'm starting to say every week, watch football.
Exactly. But I'm just sold saying, out. Though, you got the most eyeballs on you.
Like, for me, as a fan of the game, if I still watch football, I'm not clicking on the football. I'm like, oh, they protesting, whatever.
Okay, that's not the point.
What's the point?
The point is, when you have the most eyeballs on you, you have the bigger platform. And that's when you try to make a statement or stand for a cause.
Whose attention are you getting when you
leave? You're getting everyone's attention.
Everybody's.
Because everyone's saying, why isn't he standing like the rest of those guys? So that starts the conversation. And all you're trying to do is start a conversation.
And that's exactly what the media do. They look for the players who have their fist raised, who are taking the knee, or, you know,
they look for shit that stands out.
Exactly.
And they highlight that, and that's how you start a story.
What is that changing?
Before you create change, you have to bring awareness. And what that does is that gives you the opportunity to speak on the awareness. Now, there hasn't been a lot of follow-up from Cap, which is kind of something that
we were talking about this earlier.
I have against it, but we're still talking about this a year after it happened. So
2 years.
So it was, I mean, so.
That's because they're bringing rules in place in order to stop it from happening.
There's no rules.
But see.
They're trying.
Oh, they're trying to.
But they're trying because it happened. Had he never took that knee, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
But that's the reason for a lot of laws and rules. You know, they're always the...
Well, that's why you do it there. Would you rather him do it at practice or do it at church or the grocery store? No, you're going to do it on the sideline of a nationally televised game where the whole world is watching. So they're like, oh, that guy right there. Oh, he's the quarterback. He's the team to take the team to the Super Bowl. He's taking a knee. Why is he taking a knee? Well, now we get to talk about it.
And I just want to slide this in there. I don't know if y'all know, if y'all saw the clip, but Jerry Jones, who said that all the Cowboys will stand on the sideline for the national anthem, toe on the line. He stood for the national anthem, and after it says, please remove your hats and place your hand over your hearts, he left his hat on. And even when his son, Stephen Jones, told him, like, hey, you still got your hat on, he was like, ugh, whatever. And he left his hat on. Donald Trump didn't have anything to say about that, but he showed tweet up like, hey, Jerry, good job on telling, you know, the Cowboys that,
Here's the thing right here, and I'm going to say this. I've been biting my tongue this whole episode, but goddamn it, I'm going to
say
this whole protest is not about the national anthem.
It's never been about the national anthem.
And I'm speaking from the owner's side here. It really ain't got nothing to do with brutality against black people, because they will never acknowledge that. And when I say they, I mean the establishment, mm-hmm. the powers that be. This is what it's really about. When that lady on Fox News told LeBron and KD to shut up and dribble, that's America's mindset when it comes to black athletes. We pay our hard-earned money to watch you entertain us. Football players are modern-day gladiators. Now, back in the day in the Colosseums in Rome, they would go kill each other on the battlefield. This is the 2018 version of that. So all you look at a football player to do is to run, tackle, fall, jump, and throw. The minute they do something besides that, you say, nigga, get back in your place.
That's
all it is. Jerry Jones, we give a damn about the national anthem or stand up or salute the flag or the flag and shit.
Jerry Jones
is a billionaire.
What he cares about
is his field boys need to stay in place and play their role and do what they're supposed to do and shut up. If anything you do not involve yards and tackles, hush.
And that's why that.
That's it. That's what it's about. That's what all this is about.
But we've all played sports, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we just fucking play sports? Like, I mean, like.
Are they not still playing? Are they not playing?
But all I'm saying is, why does other shit have to get brought? Like, I don't want to sound like the owner.
Go ahead.
But I'm just saying,
I got something for you after that.
I'm just saying, like.
Shut up and dribble, boy. That's all you got to do.
Okay, you see, I know athletes, and bro, they're not the best people to talk to, listen to, take advice from. Like, they're put on a pedestal from a young age, and they get arrogant, and they just have this personality going through life.
The dumb like, block, I get it.
Period. So, like, I don't want to hear, like, even, like, LeBron James seems humble on TV, but nigga, I know what he doing when your camera gone. Like, all right, but I know look, niggas.
But look, you saying why can't they just play sports?
I don't want to hear these niggas talk about nothing else.
What? Who putting the mic in front of them? Are they saying anything on the sideline? They're not saying anything.
LeBron
on the
and them are.
Okay, you talking about LeBron, but we was talking about the NFL. Yeah,
NFL.
We're talking about the NFL though.
And they're doing it during the national anthem.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Because all right, even when we was in the Navy, I know for a fact for me, when I'm on base and I know color's about to happen, nigga, I'm getting inside.
Okay.
I'm getting the fuck inside.
Know.
Okay, yes, I want to know. You, nigga, I'm not getting caught outside and having this
family. You can't compare the military to a football player.
You can't run to the locker room when the shit come on if you already have the
yeah,
bro.
If I was in the NFL, I'm the guy running back to the locker room.
Yeah, but you can't because same thing gonna happen. The camera's gonna find you running to the locker room.
So you're gonna be that nigga on CNN running to the locker room.
And then the media's gonna come to you and be like, hey, where was you going before the national anthem played?
Why were you going?
Yeah,
so you doing the same thing. Trying to run from
so you
that's just, that's just like when the master, like when our chiefs or whatever, like, hey, why you just take, I didn't want to stand in front of the fucking national anthem.
No, but I'm saying, either way, like, you're gonna get a microphone put in front of you. So why you say, why are they talking about it? They're not talking about it on their own. It's the media afterwards. When they come and put the microphone in front of you and they ask you a question, they answer the question. So there's not a problem with that. There's like, it's not like they're going up to me and be like, hey, did you see me on the sideline? You see me, I raise my fist. When I ask me about it, no, the media coming to it, hey, Malcolm Jenkins, we saw that you and a couple
but
other players.
But the fact that you're doing it in front of all these people,
where
you
know there's no better place for it.
No, but you doing it right there, you know what they're, you know. I just raised my fist. They gonna come ask me at halftime. You know that's coming.
You want them to do that, though. You want them to.
But you can't say that you're not talking or doing this because you know what's about to happen. You know what you already got that.
Yeah, it's a sacrifice.
You got that premeditated in your head what you about to say when they come and ask you. Why you raise your fist? Why you taking me? You got to premeditate what you're gonna say.
When you stand for something and anything, you have to know that there's a chance that you may be sacrificed at some point. Like when Martin Luther King was doing all the stuff that he was doing, he knew at some point that he would be probably taken out. That's why
he even stated it.
That's why he created bonds of all of his children for hundreds of thousands of dollars so they would be fine once they killed him off. But the cause that he stood for was bigger.
It was worth dying for. He said it was worth dying for.
Shutting up because I don't want to piss people off. If you create change, you're going to piss people off. If you create anything that goes against the status quo, it's gonna tick people off.
And but then he shut up at first, and then when he went back to go start back talking again, is when he got killed?
No. The thing, and I don't want to go into it on this episode, but the thing that killed Martin Luther King was the Poor People's Campaign. When he was turning the other cheek and let people attack you with dogs and water hoses, they let him live. The minute he wanted to teach black empowerment and an economic base to black people and show poor people how to start businesses, now you're threatening the infrastructure of America. So that's when they killed him.
Officer Ricky.
But so guys, that's a great topic right there, man. We're going to go on to the next football topic here in segment 2. Thanks for listening.
Because we can go about this all day long.